Good morning. Welcome to Faith Community United Methodist Church. It's good to be with you on this beautiful Sunday. Are you well? Do you feel well with your soul? Do you feel whole? These are all things that we try to fool ourselves in figuring where we are. I invite you to trust yourself into God's arms and just rest in the Lord in a way that gives you that wholeness, that wellness. It's something that we have to participate in order to discover who we are in Christ. I invite you into that kind of a mind space this morning as we enter into worship today. If you take a look at your announcements, there are just a couple things I'm going to touch on today, and you can read through the rest. The Meals for Missions is coming up on Saturday, so there's a sign-up sheet. And we really would like to know if you're coming so that we can make sure we have what we need. So if you can sign up on the way out, if you have not already, that would be wonderful. Also, next week is the clock changing. So I don't want us to be here. Is it too early or too late? I don't remember. But we want to be here on time. So just make sure you set your clocks next week so we can all be here at the same time. I also wanted to mention SBRC has a meeting tomorrow, so if you're on that team, please make sure that that is a part of your plans. And then in your bulletin, you notice a little form here that's asking for your favorite hymns. It's going to be an opportunity for us to have a hymn sing opportunity coming up, and we want to make sure we have at least a selection to work from of what may be your favorite hymns. And also, we can utilize those throughout the year if we know kind of what's out there, and we'll pick things that fit our theme for the week. So if you want to participate in that, I would ask you do that. There's a basket as soon as you go out, and you can put that in there. And we'll leave the basket out for a couple weeks, and you can bring those in and put those in there as you feel that you have what you want to put in there. With that, I want to just allow us to enter into worship as we receive the prelude this morning. Thank you.
or not. Ah, there we go. Good morning. We're going to talk about blessings, and when I hear Carol playing Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus, that's good, but have you noticed the trees? I mean, the trees have been wonderful, so we're blessed in that regard as well. If you are able, would you like to stand for the call to worship? Come, take refuge in the Lord, for God is good. Come, rejoice in the Lord, for God will provide peace for you. Come, open your hearts to the Lord, and you will be given blessings.
Thanks be to God for the many ways in which we are blessed.
And our opening hymn this morning is Wonderful Words of Life, which is number 600 and on the screens. Be seated. And if you would join with me in our opening hymn, which is printed in the bulletin. Let us pray. Source of healing and mercy, heed us when we cry out in our need. Give us the wisdom and the courage to accept the limits of our understanding. Give us the confidence to sing your praises. Even when fear and doubt darken our thoughts, grant us your healing inside and out, O God, that we may be made well and follow you all the days of our lives. Amen. Would the children like to come forward for the children's message?
Okay, we have some children. We have Pastor Jeff. That is our theme today, Pastor Jeff.
I'm an older child.
Yeah, you are the older child, and you are our theme today.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
That could be problematic.
Uh-huh. Okay, so we have a gift for Pastor Jeff, but you guys, we get to unwrap it.
Uh-oh.
What are these things?
A bag?
You get to hold the bag.
All right, I got the bag.
Okay. This is something that the congregation and SBRC is Staff Parish Relations Committee, which means that we get together and we make sure that everybody is appreciated and happy, and we're all together as a staff in our church, and our congregation is all together.
You even got a scroll.
Yeah. So we got Pastor Jeff a survival kit. Okay, everybody, when you find what I'm talking about, we could take turns giving it to him so he can put it in his gift bag. So this is a survival kit for pastors. All right. Lifesavers for the times when you are a lifesaver, Pastor Jeff. We appreciate you for that.
Thank you. You're welcome.
We gotta say thank you when I forgot to say that. We have to say thank you when we... because we're thanking him for these things. Gum, because you help everyone stick together.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
All right.
A rubber doorstop, because your door is always open.
Keep the door open. Okay. Yeah.
Does anybody want to read number 4?
Hershey Kisses to remind you that you are loved.
Aww.
A rubber band, because you challenge us to stretch and grow. A puzzle piece, because you are an important piece of what God is doing at our church.
Thank you. That's a puzzle. You're challenging me.
And cotton balls to soften any rough spots ahead.
I get it.
Okay, we have a card from the congregation and SBRC. Thank you, Pastor Jeff. And we have a night out to a Green County restaurant for you and your wife and family, to the Winds Cafe. It's a good Green County restaurant.
We'll check that out.
Mm-hmm. You might have been there before. But
Have we been?
Have you been there before? Okay. I have a prayer, but now it's not coming up. All right, now, okay. We're going to bow our heads. And we're going to lay hands on Pastor Jeff. We're going to put a hand on his shoulder. Anybody from the congregation that would like to come up and bless Pastor Jeff? We talked about blessings today. Pastor Jeff is a blessing to us. And just like the leaves turning golden, he is a blessing to us as well. So if you would like to come forward and put your hands on Pastor Jeff as I say a prayer, a blessing for him. Anyone want to come forward? I'll give you a moment. Okay, kids. Jesus says when two or more are gathered in his presence, God is with us. That's why we do things like this, just to kind of have an idea and a physical presence of the power of prayer. Lord of peace, may you give our pastor Jeff and his family peace at all times and in every way. That's from 2 Thessalonians. Thank you, God, for sending Pastor Jeff to lead the church and for the gifts and his talents. Lord, please give Pastor Jeff the wisdom to make wise decisions and lead the church faithfully. Please bless Pastor Jeff and his family with continued patience to endure trials, frustrations, and the positives in the course of a year of pastoring. Please bless our pastor's family and their ability to nurture each other and the relationships around them. And finally, we'll close with Hebrews 13. May you, the God of peace, equip our pastor with everything good for doing your will, and may you work in him what is pleasing to you, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Oh, I got snacks.
Thanks, everybody. Our prayer hymn this morning is Open My Eyes That I May See, which is number 454 in the hymnal, and I hope on the screens.
As we go into our prayer time, let me just begin with saying I feel the love, appreciate who you are and how that we have been able to work together over this past year and a half, and we look forward to continuing to serve over the next several years. Also, want to bring some sad news to us this morning before we pray. Our dear friend Dee Dee Barone passed away yesterday, so be keeping the family in your prayers for the next several weeks. Let us go for our Lord in prayer. Amazing God, we are your body. We are here because we have our faith in you, your Son, and the power of the Holy Spirit to work in the midst of everything, including our own lives. So Lord, we just open ourselves to you this morning. As we were just singing, we ask you to open our eyes so that we can see. open our ears that we can hear, so that we will be able to open our mouths and share what you have done in our lives. How we feel free. How we feel love. How we feel welcomed. How we feel whole in you. Lord, you are the one that makes all this possible. Everything in this world attempts for ways to tear us apart and tear us down. But Lord, we know that through the love that we understand through you, we can build up and plant roots that go deep. Allow us to be those that you put out into the world to encourage one another. So Lord, we just ask for that strength. Ask for that vision of hope. So Lord, we just ask that you would be specifically with the Barone family. That you would hold them together. That you would call for us to be there to walk alongside. Lord, we thank you for the lives that have entered into ours that have been so powerful, as I'm sure Dee Dee was to many of you. Lord, continue to encourage us even as we experience things that we don't like. To help us to walk with confidence and joy in our hearts as the Lord leads us throughout this life. There is always hope. There is always a way to look forward. And we can have that in you. So let's now share with one voice the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now may we respond to the Lord as we have received so many blessings. And we're able to return some blessings so that we may be a blessing for the world around us. Ushers, would you please wait upon us? Thank you. Please join together in the prayer of dedication. Merciful God, you open our eyes to your truth, and we bring our gifts to you with gratitude. Use these gifts to spread your love and light, helping others to see your grace and mercy. Bless our giving and open our hearts to see the needs around us, so that we may serve with compassion and humility. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please remain standing for the gospel reading.
The gospel reading this morning comes from the book of Mark, chapter 10, verses 45 through 52. Blind Bartimaeus receives his sight. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated.
God, pray, for I have returned.
Amen. Thank you, choir. Well, for the first 30 years of my life, I had very little experience of life in a large city. I went from, as you know, I went from growing up in Enon to living in Athens, Ohio, to go to college at Ohio University, to my first job at Wright-Patt, which is a protected community in and of itself, and then to a small town in Iowa, at least it used to be a small town in Iowa, Coralville, Iowa. In those years, I lived a pretty isolated life, protected from the realities of poverty and homelessness. However, all that changed when we left Iowa to return to Ohio, and I accepted a position at a software consulting firm in downtown Columbus. Anytime I walked around downtown, I was either approached by someone asking for money or witnessed them sitting on the sidewalk with some kind of container, hoping that passersby would drop in a few coins. There were always folks sitting or possibly lying down on benches that clearly had no place to call home. I was very uncomfortable and unsure of what to say or what to do as I witnessed the needs of these people and wrestled with the sorrow that I felt. I know for a while I also responded in fear, and I tried to avoid encounters with the beggars. After a period of time, my fear turned to just frustration, and my response went from avoidance to ignoring their existence. I got used to them being there and resolved that it wasn't my concern. I share this because this is the attitude of the disciples and the crowd that were traveling to Jerusalem from Jericho. They were used to beggars along the roadside. They were resolved to keep them from getting in the way of their progress. Jesus and his disciples were just a few of those among thousands of Jewish pilgrims making their way to Jerusalem for the Passover festival. The majority of the crowd was anticipating the Messiah to come and save them from the oppression of the Romans. And if you remember last week, Suzanne shared that some of Jesus' disciples were already vying for positions of power in the kingdom they believed Jesus was sure to establish. Even though the disciples and the crowd were walking with Jesus, they were in many ways blind to what the Messiah would do for them. Out of pride, they were desiring power and freedom. Whereas out of humility, the beggar was wanting wholeness and belonging. What we believe about Jesus shapes what we see Jesus being in our lives. What kind of Savior do we see in Jesus? In this blind man's story, we discover that the one who could not see was able to see Jesus more clearly than those who could see. Looking at this encounter between blind Bartimaeus and Jesus, I want to share what beliefs help us to see more clearly what Jesus does for us. I want us to focus on Bartimaeus throughout this message. I know we can't really know for sure what he believed, but we can trust that what he believed prompted him to act. So I'm going to share what I see behind his responses. So Mark introduced this encounter like this. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." I think that with Bartimaeus being blind, his listening skills were heightened He depended on his ears to navigate his life, even if it was the life of a beggar. The disciples and the crowd may have been ignoring him, but he was listening to what they were talking about. Not only was he listening as Jesus was crossing his path, you can bet that he heard all the stories about Jesus over the 3-year period of Jesus' ministry. Based on what he had heard, he formed a belief about Jesus of Nazareth, which he declared when he shouted, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Now, some theologians argue that it was common for fellow Jewish brothers to call each other sons of David. But others say Bartimaeus' cry was proclaiming something more prominent. Consider what happened just a few days later when Jesus came into Jerusalem on a donkey and the crowds cried out the same thing. According to Matthew, the crowd shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" Now, no one argues the intent of the crowd's proclamation then, because in that moment, that crowd was hoping that Jesus was that anointed Messiah, the one sent by God to save his people. So was Bartimaeus just calling out to Jesus, his Jewish brother, for mercy? Or did he see Jesus as the one sent with the authority of God? To see Jesus more clearly, we believe Jesus is sent by God. Jesus wasn't just a struggling carpenter from Nazareth. He is sent by God to finish the work of salvation, to restore and reconcile all who see him for who he is and experience his grace and his mercy. Bartimaeus believed what he believed, and no one was going to deter him from experiencing the mercy of the Christ. Mark described, "Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.' Then Jesus stopped. He said, 'Call him.' So they called to the blind man, 'Cheer up, on your feet. He's calling you.' Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus." Now notice Bartimaeus wasn't lame, sitting alongside the road begging. He was blind. His blindness caused him to be an outcast, shunned by his Jewish brothers and sisters, because there was a belief that physical maladies and deformities were the result of sin, either their own or their parents, and they were being punished by God. Bartimaeus wasn't ashamed of his blindness, but it kept him from his community and from him approaching Jesus among the crowd. But when a path was cleared for him, when Jesus heard him and called him to come, he jumped to his feet and stood before Jesus. He believed Jesus could see him, truly see him, his heart, and his need for mercy. And for us to see Jesus without shame, we believe Jesus meets us where we are and sees us. Jesus is always near us, waiting for us to see him and call his name. Jesus sees our need of him and is prepared to meet us in our longing, our pain, our sin, our lostness, our loneliness, our joy, or whatever it is. In any moment that we choose to see Jesus and call his name. Sometimes now Jesus calls out to us to get our attention. But friends, more often it takes our initiative to stop, close our eyes, shut down our minds, and invite Jesus to meet us where we are. Now, Bartimaeus wasn't just interested in meeting Jesus. He believed Jesus could do something in his life. After Bartimaeus jumped up and stood before Jesus, Mark wrote, "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked. And the blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus. "Your faith has healed you." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. So there are two things that are here that I want to note from Bartimaeus' response to Jesus that speaks to his belief in him. First, Bartimaeus, although blind, was no different from his Jewish brothers and sisters who had grown up hearing their history that was passed down from generation to generation. Their required festivals reiterated their story over and over. The messages of the prophets, especially Isaiah, were well known to them. But as a blind man, Bartimaeus was likely drawn to the hope proclaimed by Isaiah regarding the effects of the Lord's coming. Isaiah encouraged, "Strengthen the feeble hands, steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear. Your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped." Bartimaeus' hope for restoration and reconciliation was in the Lord. He believed Jesus, the Son of David, had come to fulfill the prophecies he heard about all his life, beginning with his sight. The restoration of his sight meant much more than vision to him. You see, he would have been freed from the shame of the sin that went along with his blindness, or at least how they saw him. He would have been reconciled with his community. He would have had access to the temple and the Lord's presence restored. His hope in the Lord's promises are assured. To see Jesus as more than our way of salvation, we believe Jesus transforms our lives. Jesus changes lives. Jesus frees us from shame and sin. Jesus changes hearts and minds, which reconciles and restores relationships with God, others, and ourselves. Jesus is available to us when we are available to Him. The second thing I want to note is Bartimaeus' response to his healing. Jesus tells him to go, "Your faith has healed you." Bartimaeus' vision was restored immediately, so he could have gone anywhere without someone guiding him. He was free to go. However, our text says he followed Jesus along the road. To Bartimaeus, Jesus was more than a healer. He was his rabbi, his master. To see Jesus as Lord of our lives, we believe Jesus leads us. Jesus gives us freedom to go our own way, but He invites us to follow Him, trusting Him with our life, in every aspect of our life. Now, often we compartmentalize our faith, meaning we don't invite Jesus to lead us when we're at work, Or with our friends, perhaps. Or maybe while we're watching or being at the OSU Michigan game. Regardless of where we are, Jesus is Lord. Our response to Him expresses our belief. Friends, what we believe about Jesus shapes who we see Jesus being in our lives. We may not have to see to believe, but we do have to believe to see the fullness of who Jesus is. Because Jesus is sent by God. Not just to die on the cross for our sins and to give us the promises of eternal life, but to meet us where we are, to see us completely, to transform our lives, mind, body, and soul, and to lead us in the power of the Holy Spirit each and every day. So may our vision of Jesus and the life He offers become clearer and clearer to us, and perhaps we should be the ones responding to Jesus just as Bartimaeus. And Rabbi, we want to see. We want to see. Amen.
Our closing hymn this morning is "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God," which is number 110. We will be singing verses 1 through 3.
Jesus is our Savior, but more importantly, Jesus is our Lord throughout our lives. May we see that and embrace that and walk with Him along the road. Go in peace. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.